like to call the first monthly regular meeting of the Port of Port Townsend for Wednesday, February the 11th to order. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so first thing we have to do is approve the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda?
No, but just to give you a heads up, when it comes to staff comments, I'd like to talk about the retreat a little bit. We sent you an email a week or so ago. Just make sure we're still on track with that.
Okay, so I move that we approve the agenda as outlined.
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, consent agenda. Has everyone looked at the consent agenda in the minutes?
I have.
Make the motion that we approve the consent.
I make a motion.
And I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Brad, did you get your answer on the fire payment there?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
There'll be another similar payment later in the year.
Yeah, I saw that happen.
Okay, racing right along. We have agenda coming up, but right now we have a time for public comments that are not related to the agenda. So whatever turns your crank. Anybody want to say anything about anything else? Having no takers, we'll go right on to the second reading. These are action items, and we talked about the format of the reading. So since we are now asking for second reading agenda items, I'm going to introduce the item, then ask for public comment on that item. Then we'll have the staff introduce it, and then we'll have the board discuss it. So the first is the contract with Windridge Solutions for communications. Do we have any public comments regarding that contract? Okay, would staff like to introduce the contract?
Kevin Ellis, who is the owner of Windridge Solutions, we're proposing that we sign him up for another one-year contract. It will expire the end of 2015, not to exceed $20,000. And it's primarily strictly communications. You know, he did our website. I think it's really developed into a pretty nice website now. But part of his job will be to maintain that, but also to continue helping us with our communications, from newsletters to, you know, the idea that we talked about last time, putting news items in our building, things of that sort, press releases, et cetera. So we're proposing that, we get on with it and sign the contract.
Okay, because this also says perform technology updates. Should have been as needed. It just says perform technology updates needed. So that we're still having him do technology still, right?
Just on the website. Mm-hmm. Not doing our global network.
He's not going to fix your iPad.
Great. Okay. That's good. All right. So do we have anything to discuss about that before we vote on it?
So what's the status of the suggestion box on our website? Where's that information going? And I had asked Kevin a while back about having that automatically sent to me. That would be interesting.
We've had very, very, very few comments come through there.
Well, that means
last week. I'm trying to remember what it came from last week. There was a suggestion, but it was just a comment.
Well, yeah, but did you see it?
No,
I didn't see it.
I have my iPad here, but it went to all of us.
You went in an email to us?
I'm on it right now. When did it go out?
Well, it was earlier in the week. It's ppt.info or something, I think it says.
Yeah, I guess
so
it was.
If you get a PPT info, it comes from that little suggestion box, and it goes to the five of us.
There have been a couple of those, actually.
But all of them are pretty mundane suggestions, are not.
Okay, I guess I had hoped that there'd been more activity on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'd hope that more people read my president's message in 23, but
and that was two of those. I read it twice.
And I was three of them, so maybe, you know. I guess if that's something that we should probably include in the contract, is figuring out the other part. Of course, we're going to be tucking that in our retreat, figuring out other ways of engaging the community, perhaps through the leader once a month, to let them know that there's actually a live website where we really talk and not just, it's not just a electronic filing cabinet like it used to be.
Well, I don't know if you all know, Pete, you should know, and Brad, you should know, that a newsletter went out in this week's, or this month's billing. So that was the first of, I mean, when you, the commission suggested we do that, the next week we had a newsletter in the billing, so we're looking to continue that. And it's trying to drive people to our website. It says, please go to portofpt.com for more information.
Cool.
So we told Kevin that, you know, there may be other things that come out of our retreat or just other discussions that we may want him to help us with.
So is there a place that people like me that don't get a bill could see that newsletter?
It's on the website. So if you go to the website, you'll see it.
It's under news posting.
It's on our news posting. It's on our website, yeah. We're looking at doing an annual report in the leader, but just once a year because it's so expensive, to everybody, community. But any suggestions you have, let us know. Kevin's really quick to respond. Mm-hmm. Got a good idea.
Well, one of the main reasons that I approved this contract last year was because lots of agencies or people that I've worked with have indicated how invaluable their calendars are to them. They say it's like when email replaced handwritten typed envelopes and stenographers. They say the difference is that great. And that was part of this contract last year, and it's partially implemented, but not really. And I'm not sure if that's still going to be get finished up in this, because it seems like we've specifically eliminated that, or have we?
We haven't. I think my calendar works pretty fine. I get to all your meetings, so it's working. So I don't know. I get Amy's, I get yours, I get Larry's.
What did it end up costing us last year for Kevin's contract?
$12,500, I think.
How much?
$12,500.
Well, there were some things that basically Kevin had indicated right here. Port-a-Port Towns and Calendars. Goals, appropriate awareness of staff slash commissioner activity, accurate meeting and event information, structure, the master calendar, Sue handles it, and each user's calendar, we all have our own calendars that we use, and operations is use your calendar. Commissioners and staff want to know who's where and when, and it says that Kevin will go through and help people figure out how to do this, how to know your schedule. I've been looking on the calendar trying to figure out when I should come down here, when people will be here and when not, and also which meetings have occurred so that I'll be able to be notified when I come down here. Oh yeah, you just had to talk with so-and-so, how'd that go? And yeah, it's just not being kept up, and I'm not sure if that's just our responsibility or if Kevin has not assisted people with it as well as he might have. I'm still seeing some implementation issues in the calendar, and I guess my question is since we're not having Kevin do the technical stuff, is this is still parts of our internal communication, correct? Okay, so this would still be under his purview. Okay.
I think Sue does a pretty good job of keeping up the calendar, so I'm a little
concerned. Well, it's up to each person to maintain their own calendar, but if I get notifications of certain committee meetings, I'll send them to you. But like I said, on the workshop that was canceled, that was overlooked today, but that was my...
Well, that's not the main thing.
But every morning when I open my email, I get down the lower right-hand corner all these notices for that day of, you know, like this morning, commission meeting at 1 p.m., you know, things like that.
Well, there was the things that this calendar could be expanded to do is to inform in other areas, you know, like you can act, some people even have their city's webpage utilize a calendar so that people can figure out what is going on when a potential user of the internet wants to know what's going to be happening. They can go to a calendar and say, oh, well, that's when the meeting is. Oh, that's what time it is. In other words, that can be expanded once we get the thing up and running to do more than just inform each other. It can also inform the public.
Well, we have a calendar page on the website.
Mm-hmm. Does it do that?
I keep it up monthly. And then.
Now, is that static one that you do, or it's not?
On the right-hand side, it says court calendar or monthly calendar.
Yeah, it's just it's the written thing.
It's that one one that you do, just a list of things, right? Yeah, no, this is the one where you can actually change it in time. And, for example, I was thinking that it'd be useful. Well, I was going to talk in my commissioner comments about the MRC meeting that we had. where Al gave a talk, it would have been useful to have had a calendar and a link, you know, where people could incorporate that in a good website to have people be able to go there and understand what's going on and link directly to a thing on the calendar. So I'm thinking that...
That sounds like an awful lot.
Yeah, this contract doesn't include that.
Well...
That's a whole other thing.
There's some calendar issues I think that we could still work on. And I just wanted to see if this was going to preclude him from continuing that. I don't really feel over there. Okay, so anyway...
Up to $20,000.
What's that?
Only up to 20. After that, we cut them off. Mm-hmm.
I'd say we got a pretty good value last year. For
12,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's come a long ways, you know. Got a good foundation now. So, I mean, there's no reason, I mean, conflict weekend, it's not necessarily going to be maxed out at 20, but, yeah. You know.
I think he's pretty fastidious. I mean, he get a lot of, he's all this monitoring stuff.
Yeah, like this morning, I got an email from him, as I talked to Scott Wilson 2 weeks ago about the idea of having a quarterly
column,
you know, column. And Scott promised to give me a price quote. And I got a call from, what's her name, Brewer? Kevin Brewer, as a follow-up, but she still didn't give me a price quote. So I told Kevin I had the conversation. So today, he sent me an email asking, have you heard back? And I said, no, you want me to do it? I said, yeah, well, why don't you go ahead? So,
yeah,
you know, he's chasing down the leader now.
Well, I have to say, I've been pretty pleased with the content that he's been putting on the website. You know, but... So, do we have a motion to accept the contract? Approve the contract?
I'll make the motion.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, second, Boat Haven Restrooms. I imagine we'll have some public comment on this, so now is the time for public comment. George.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate what I had said last time, that this is a public report. Your mission statement references and supports the concept of public facilities. I am very concerned about the idea and the perception that we are narrowing our focus so that we exclude folks from the community that are not as fortunate as us. If any of you were at the Monday morning or Monday lunch in the chamber, Diane Warwick spoke about those folks who are living out of their cars or even in tents. And they need facilities. And I don't see why we cannot continue to provide this. Because if we start locking things up, we start looking like a gated community. And I think that's the wrong message. Thank you.
Thank you, George. Go ahead. I'm sorry, what was your name?
I'm Tom Curry. I came here mostly because I was concerned about the locking up of the restrooms also. I was hoping to hear a little bit more about what was in the works planning-wise. All I know is what I read in the paper, and that wasn't very much. But I'm also hoping that you don't lock. There are so many people in this community that use it and need it. Like you mentioned, there's the homeless people that are living out of their cars that wouldn't have access to a shower. And that can make a huge difference in a person's life. You know, just the opportunity to come in and get warmed up, you know, at the end of a cold day. Also, that's one of those things that when I first came to this community, and I was living in a school bus and relied on the shower here, it was one of the things that made me realize that this was the type of community that I wanted to live in. And I think that if that's taken away, it really hurts. What the community is all about, and I hope that that's considered, you know, before you close it down.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Okay, so staff has some suggestions for.
You've gotten a couple of emails over the past week from a couple of folks. Actually, two very well written emails. One from Janet Talley and another one from Joni. What you have in your packet is, you know, we looked at what could we do to provide some additional facilities and perhaps leave some of them open for more public use and others strictly for our tenants. And you've got a diagram where we took the current laundromat, ceased that function, and we could get to ADA, since we're a public entity, anything we build has to be ADA accessible, to facilities in there. We're looking at probably about a $40,000, you know, project. I guess my concern is, I don't think we need to do any of this. That's just me talking. You know, we got so many bills facing us over the next 2 years. $40,000 may not seem like a lot, but you know, $40,000 here, $40,000 there, and pretty soon you're talking real money again. So, yeah. We really need direction from the commission. Staff recommendation is that we just keep our current restroom situation as is, keep them clean, keep them functioning. You know, there's some improvements, you know, cosmetic things, but not really build anything new. But if you want us to do that, then certainly we'll carry that out. And this is one idea here, and I understand you had another idea.
Well, we were kicking around, a lot of trail people use that restroom because then they can shower, the current restroom, because then they can shower and head into town, like if they live in Tadlock. I think Ann Murphy's name came up as one of those, as an example. So I just thought, well, if we do need a set of restrooms with showers, why not put it down by the restroom in the heavy haul-out area at the head of the trail?
You mean add on to the existing structure?
But I guess for me, I'm kind of like, you know, I'm the same way. I'm not really up for spending money to do anything.
I feel the same way too. What drove us to this point, you know, to where it ended up in the paper and the way they kind of put a twist on it, you know, but I'm kind of like, how to get driven to this point, you know, but I think looking back, you know, it's a lot of that is a result of complaints from patrons and so on about, and as well as reports from Pete Parrish in regards to some illegal, inappropriate activity going on, you know, that perhaps if there's a way to get a better handle on that, you know, one or two people spoiling it for everybody kind of thing, and you know, I mean, if there's a problem, if there's something illegal or inappropriate going on and we get reports, we know this is happening, but we do nothing about it, you know, that's not right either. So I don't necessarily have a suggestion on that, but it's you know, that's part of that. I'm just speaking, so this is what drove us to even have this on the agenda today.
Well, we're in the process where we met with some law enforcement people. We got another meeting to set up with some other law enforcement people. And you know, we have trespassed a couple of people, which is trespassing is a term that the Port Townsend police use, where they actually give a written notice to somebody, like your buddy that harassed you over there, the tall guy, where if they do come back on port property, then they'll be arrested. And it seems to work. Those individuals have not seen back on port property. But I think there's a few things. Maybe we can just kind of tighten that screw a couple of turns and see if it helps. And if it doesn't, we can always come back and revisit the issue.
When reconnoitered on the way over to the commission meeting today, and Linda Liu was in there. She's the gal that always does all the finishes when it's always over there. And I asked her about it, and I said, you know, are you guys having any problems with, you know, the complaints we'd heard about? And said, 10 years ago we used to, but that hasn't happened for a long time. And she takes pride in keeping them clean. And I have to admit, every time I go in there, they're clean. There's no graffiti that stays put, or even if it ever gets there, I don't ever see it. But they're clean, and having been in lots and lots of restrooms, because I camp a lot in my RV, I'm not ashamed of these in the least. And I think that just leaving them just exactly the way they are and trying to, as Brad said, identify the problem people, if we still have them. According to Linda Liu, we don't have them anymore. So
yeah, well, she's here during the day, you know, this is the night
element. It's a different port when the sun goes down.
Well, we should, you know, address that rather than...
And that's what I was going to say is how, I think that is a good constructive way forward, is how do we keep these restrooms closed except to the patrons at night? I think that's where we're running into a problem of the doors propped open and the codes passed around. And I mean, it may not be 40, but maybe we entertain a key card idea as a way to, I don't know if that system's going to be any better than a code system. I mean, you can still hand a card out to, or a card can get passed.
I had one gentleman come in last week and talk about the restrooms after he saw the article in the Daily News, and he wanted to keep them open, but he also admitted to me that he's a mortgage patron and he passes the code out.
Yeah.
You know, it's like our problem we had with payment. I think that just putting a pay here sign up is going to help with the boat ramp payment. I think that telling people don't give the code out because we're trying to keep your restrooms clean will help the people like you just referred to that just give it out in an effort to try to be a good guy, but in fact he's not. One thing about the card lock that I was thinking about that was brought home to me last night, we were getting ready to have a meeting in here and I was unlocking the back door and a guy was putting his boat into the water and asked me for the passcode for the showers because he'd called up Morage and they didn't return his call and he's going to be staying here. He has a launch pass. He's bought, rented a slip and he didn't have a way of getting the passcode. So if we went to cards, he'd be out of luck that night. Although I was trying to figure out a way to get the code to people that do use it, like boaters that are Barport patrons, and we could do that. We have their email and we could send them out the code every month when it changes. So in other words, that wouldn't be easy to do with a key card.
Right.
It would be. But I think that if we just educate people, I think that number one, we'll get more boat ramp funds by pay here. Two, we'll get less people handing it out when they understand what the repercussions are and that it's costing us. And that it almost came to a point where we had to spend a bunch of money and be the bad guys keeping people out. Well, I think that'd be a good way to start, see how that works.
Well, and the other aspect that we talked about, tomorrow I got my CEO breakfast, and if David Timmons and Philip Morley are there from the city and the county, you know, this is a service that they should be providing. It's, you know, we've de facto become that service because the other two governments don't do it.
So the bathroom's right over there that they have all locked up.
The city keeps locked up. There's no showers over there, just restrooms, but still. So I'm going to mention it to him, and I know you and I talked last week. You thought you might bring it up. You may want to talk that up with your fellow elected officials with the other governments if you run into them somewhere. Yeah, this is really a broader community problem. We can't fix the homeless problem. You know, we're kind of seeing some of the symptoms of a community-wide issue here because we've got the restrooms. But this might be a catalyst to have a broader discussion, which would involve the hospital, the police, the city, the county, health services, etc. But that's my intent tomorrow morning. I'll bring that up.
So just so that I'm clear, I think we've kind of come to a decision that we're just going to leave it as it is, keep them clean, paint them.
Now, in the meantime, so what Larry said, I think we all should reach out to some of the other folks that you know have a say in what happens and their policies with the city and the county. And I was even thinking about could the Washington State Department of Health be of some service in that regard? I don't know, or maybe have some suggestions.
And I know RCO provides grant money for restrooms. And the Katai Park was developed with RCO money, including that restroom. So it might be something the city, and I'd be happy to go in as a fellow supporting government, you know, for more money. But I know the city's broke, you know, we're all broke. But it might be something that we could tap into as a community and build another facility somewhere.
So that was RCO money that built those restrooms over there, and then aren't they obligated to make them available to the public?
Where's the reporter when you need one?
Yeah. You know, as a commissioner, I would be willing to vote money for staff time to come alongside the city to help them get through RCO to do something like that, if we could open up those facilities. But,
and the city's got a new planning director coming on board the 1st of March, so it might be a good topic for him to take on as an initial problem, too.
You won't have any others.
I know, since the city's running so well, you won't have any other issues to deal with. But, and if now 3-5 months from now we want to revisit this, that's certainly a topic. So.
Okay. Engineering services. This is the, we've been talking about this for a while, and now thankfully we're finally getting around to getting it done, I think. So we're going to talk about item C, the capital engineering services, capital for capital facilities planning. Is there any public comment regarding this? Okay. So what we got, Larry?
Well, we've talked several different times over the several meetings about this, and you've got a memorandum in here. Yeah, we really got another rereading memo here. We got three options. I was going to say we probably got two options. Yeah, engineering and architectural services. They must have had a good lobbyist when the RCWs were written, because if you go out for contract, you can only do an RFQ, request for qualifications. You can't ask them what would your price be to do something. You have to select them based on their ability to do something, and then you get into the negotiation based on a scope of work. And if you can't come to an agreement, then you go to your second best, you know, depending on how many applied. Just to cut to the quick, I think in the effort to save money and to have the greater flexibility, staff is recommending that if the commission desires to go ahead with this effort, that we bring on a part-time person on staff that you know, could do this work and feed it into our retreat process, and maybe come fall, you know, we'll have a report that we can use to help develop a capital facilities program. Yeah, the thing, the reason why I like you know, the part-time employee versus a contract is just the idea that if we got a contract and we decide we want something else done, that it's a change of the scope of work, change of the contract, probably costs us more money. If we go out with a formal contract, you know, we're going to be tied to the state requirement of picking the lowest bidder based on being responsive and responsible. And I just have this mental image of a engineering firm outside the area that I'm paying travel time and everything else to. And whereas if we can get somebody fairly local, whether it's Clallam County, Jefferson County, even Kitsap County, and I have to feel there's some qualified engineers that could do this within those three counties, you know, we could set up a program. But again, be an employee, I can say, okay, you don't need to do anything this week, but I need you for 30 hours next week. And, you know, if Larry Ozzie's crew's got something tore apart, that it might be good for the engineer to run down real quick and take a look at it. That's more of a possibility than if you have somebody on contract. So, anyway, that's the short of it. You guys, you're the main cracker of this, Eric.
Just to kind of review the rationale and the purpose for this in the first instance, is that we've really kind of made capital spending decisions in the past based on sort of immediate needs as they materialize and present themselves, rather than having a more carefully thought out and staged multi-year facilities plan, where we've done a review and assessment of our needs. We've identified the core infrastructure systems that kind of support the core mission and purpose of the port, our core functions, and what their situation is. And then we're having a conversation about what needs do we prioritize, and how are we going to go about obtaining the funding to ensure that those needs are met. So obviously retaining engineering support is just an indispensable first step towards doing that. Perry Ozzie and the maintenance staff have done a great job in keeping things going and know an awful lot about kind of what skeletons are out there, but they don't have the engineering expertise that's necessary to look at kind of core systems and assess the current needs, the remaining useful life, and kind of rough order of magnitude cost estimates for regular repair and replacement cycles. And that's what we're after, getting more systematic and thinking farther into the future than we have in the past. And I think undertaking this process is also going to help inform to a significant degree future discussions about rates and fees as well.
And I'd like to see a discussion about a real critical look, do we need all the current infrastructure? You know, rather than just kind of assuming that we'll come up with a timeline for everything when it's got to be repaired or replaced, well, maybe some of that we can just let go of. You know, either sell it or just, you know, like on a battlefield, you're not going to save every soldier, so you do a triage and just let some of them go. And maybe that's what we need to do.
So I had a question regarding the timing. It's in this synopsis here, it said at 12 to 18 months. I don't understand why it would need to take that long. Why would it need to be a year to year and a half to conduct this study?
Well, we're really talking about preparing a multi-year facilities plan that would ultimately be reviewed in public and adopted by the commission.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not saying there's, you know, necessarily 18 months worth of continuous work, but that there would be probably a process that would require that much time before we had an adopted plan. So, you know, obviously the first and I think probably the most time-consuming element of this is going to be the port-wide facility condition assessment and writing that up, identifying significant needs, remaining useful life of structures, and then at least ballparking repair and replacement costs. And I would anticipate that that is probably, at least for somebody who's working on a part-time basis, that's no small task. That's going to take, 6 months or so, I would imagine.
And that's kind of the figure I had more in my mind, yeah. You know, completing that was 6 months, not a year and a half.
So what's the other part of it? Because I thought that's what we were after.
Well, the other part of it is the discussion that really happens before the commission about core priorities and what the projects should be going forward and what projects support kind of the core mission of the port. How are we going to prioritize those projects, identify potential funding sources, and having probably a discussion about levels of service. And as Larry alluded to, once we kind of get a sense of what that, I don't want to jump the gun, but I think most of us would agree that we already know that there will likely be many millions of dollars worth of projects that are identified, at least on a multi-year basis for us to undertake, that we're going to have a discussion not only about levels of service, but also on are there some facilities that we don't intend to support with further capital spending.
Go ahead.
No, as I said, the engineer isn't necessarily part of those discussions.
Yeah, that's what's confusing.
Well, I mean, when we say a year, I'm anticipating that there will be meetings where we'll want to have an engineer present, but they aren't necessarily leading the discussion.
But I really was looking at the commission for that list by September-ish, October.
The facility condition assessment is step one.
Yeah, because one of the reasons I was realizing this is I went to that Public Works Academy workshop, and there was two members of the port community there, Mark and myself, and it became so clear to me that you need to know what you need to spend your money on before you can start budgeting money. And so it's like the first step that we have to get accomplished as soon as we can. And I'm thinking that the sooner we get started, the quicker we'll get done.
So, Eric, again, my question, I'm going to kind of hone it down here. Of this estimated hours of the part-time guy here, what portion of this is beyond the initial assessment period, the 6 months where we get this report? And is that really money that needs that we need to anticipate spending? You see what I'm saying?
Well, again, I think the assumption here is that we would probably at least undertake a 12-month contract, and that that would max out the most that we could spend on a part-time employee without triggering benefits.
Right.
Would be, what is it, the 780 hours. So I guess that's what we're saying. It's that that's not a hard and fast number that we're intent on spending up to that. That's that we would have a one-year contract for part-time temporary engineering support, where we would have the flexibility to spend up to 780 hours, which would translate to $48,000 over the course of the year.
I guess I could foresee, you know, after the initial list, if we have additional questions, you know, in our deliberation, you know, do we get rid of this piece of infrastructure, or do we replace it or repair it, maybe have an access to an engineer to come back and delve into that one piece a little bit deeper, or come up with that estimate. You know, so that we can then make that decision that, you know, geez, it really is too expensive to replace it. Let's just repair it, you know, type thing. But I really would expect to have that initial list this fall.
So let me ask a question. If we're using the 700 and whatever it is, hours as being part-time as opposed to full-time, is there anything that says that they can't do those 700 and so many hours in the first 6 months? Or would they trigger some kind of, you can't go over 40 hours a week before it becomes full-time?
In other words, it
does get into a monthly as well. Yeah, there's a
monthly. There's a monthly maximum.
As far as whether or not it triggers an employee status and being on the retirement system.
So what is it?
I believe it's 70 hours a month, I think.
70 hours a month?
I think.
See, that wouldn't work,
because
if you wanted to do 780 hours of work in 6 months, you'd be doing 120 hours a week, or 120 hours a month, 30 hours a week.
I'm going to let the court auditor assist us here.
I'm confirming the hours, but you can't just lump it all within a 6 month for the 780 hours. But I'm not... I don't recall all of the rules behind it.
We're not proposing that the individual actually work
that many hours.
You may only work 300 hours total for both projects. Yeah.
But is there anything that would say that, you know, you couldn't have any more than 70 hours in a month? I mean, that's what you're saying is, so if he decided he wanted a gung-ho, get in with both feet, get this thing done and over, you do 70 hours and have to take a breather.
Unless we want to put him on as a full-blown employee with benefits to the retirement system.
I don't want to do that because it'll cost us more money.
Right.
I think we can work it out. I fully expect there'll be some weeks where, you know, the individual might do 20 hours this week and nothing next week. You know, there's a good chance anybody that we bring on is probably working, you know, another job somewhere, or this is, you know, just one of his or her portfolio things that he or she does, and it'll be vacations and everything else in there too. So,
well, it looks like if they would commit to getting it done in 6 months or getting a report done in 6 months, it'd be a pretty good value for our dollar. Better than what's outlined in the
I think there's, you know, the other part of assessing value, obviously, is in what we can learn from this and identifying kind of where the skeletons might be lurking and what kind of non-discretionary capital expenditures are likely coming up, that we can identify and make sure that those are clearly in view before we undertake other, you know, discretionary spending decisions that are going to compromise our ability to do the projects that we really have to do to continue functioning efficiently as a board.
So this is going to be a licensed professional engineer.
Structural.
Yes. Correct.
Structural engineer. Mm-hmm.
It is kind of a tricky balance because, you know, taking on the New Day dock, it's not unlike the breakwater where the look at 5,000 feet is a lot different than when you get down on your hands and knees and you're sticking your nose in that. And so this person is really going to be at 5,000. It's not going to be able to get, you know, he or she is going to say, okay, New Day is such and such in terms of its life span. But then when we actually do get an engineer in there to say, okay, where are we at with this thing? They're going to say, well, the thing is all powder and it's going to fall in the water tomorrow. And see what I'm saying? There's a balance between how we approach this. It's good to do, but it's not going to give us a crystal clear assessment of every.
Right. And, you know, if you want that level, then you're going back up to that 150,000,
right.
200,000.
Right.
And even with this, if we bring on a structural engineer, there may be times when he or she might need assistance from, say, an electrical engineer. Mm-hmm. If they come across something that they don't feel comfortable, you know, from a knowledge standpoint. So we might have to bring somebody in just for a half a day to look at something. So we're aware of that.
Yeah, again, understanding all of this, our objective is roughly right rather than precisely wrong. We're trying to get a better handle on core infrastructure and systems and make better spending choices. That's really what it's all about.
You'll need an electrical engineer to come to my building.
You only have one light bulb in there. What do you mean?
That's what you
It's think. A full story.
So I guess what we got to do, I think we all know we want to do it. I guess we have to figure out is whether we want the on-call engineering consultant or the part-time engineer on staff. Am I correct in that, you guys?
Yeah.
Well, I'm all for option three.
Me too.
Me too. Let's make it official then.
Okay. I make a motion to go for option three.
I second it.
All in favor? Aye. It's passed.
Is that good?
That is good.
Direction from the commission is always good.
Okay, so we've gone raced right through the second reading. Now we're, since we don't have any other first readings or potential immediate action items, we have staff comments.
Well, hopefully my presence last meeting didn't curse the Super Bowl.
I
will be blamed for that the next time it's up here, but nothing to report after the year.
Great, that's a good thing.
Amy?
I have nothing.
Sue?
I suppose I should mention that we're having a retirement gathering for Doug Lockhart at the poorhouse on Friday the 27th. It's just going to be come in, and there's going to be some snacks and cake and no host bar.
What time?
When we get off work, 4:45, whenever.
What time we start, like 2 o'clock?
That's what we will.
I was going to say, it's almost on that schedule now. Eric?
Not more next time, but just an FYI, Climate Action Committee meeting coming up next week on, I believe, the 25th. And among other agenda items, the draft climate adaptation plan for the North Olympic Peninsula is likely to be presented and discussed. And there's, from what I understand, a lot of very valuable information that is going to hopefully help inform court decision making in the future, talking about kind of the expected changes that we might anticipate over the coming 25 25 to 30 years in particular in our area of the world. It really seeks to take kind of the, like the IPCC information, which obviously is kind of at the global level, satellite level, and translate the anticipated impacts down to a much more sub-regional level that will be useful for decision-making in our community going forward. So we'll have more to report once we see the presentation next week.
We're excited.
So is that still held at the City Hall?
They've been in the Cotton Building.
Oh, okay.
Working on bid documents for the boat ramp project, hoping by March 1st to get that out the door for bid, see what kind of numbers we're going to get. The plan still is, if approved, we'll go out for construction right after the Woodbine Festival. So between mid-September and 1st of November, probably construction there. So there will be more information there coming. The other thing is we had a wonderful gallery walk Saturday night. 350 people showed up to see our public building and see the art, the wonderful art that was on the wall. So, and it will be up for another 2 months. One of the good things about that is we've had two other artists come to us who attended, and they would like to use our space as a gallery also, Marine Art. So it could be quite successful.
It's a cool, collection. That's up there.
Friday, a couple of us going to make a quick run over to Coast and Harbor Engineering just to make sure they're moving along. Plus, if you remember, they're also the engineer on the boat ramp, so we need some of their input to help with the bid documents. So we should be back
2 o'clock
or so.
I'm actually over there on Friday. Do you want me to?
Are you driving your boat over?
No, I'm over there working with.
Yeah. Meetings at 9 o'clock, if you'd like to come.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just going to drive down and walk on.
Tyke's going to be there with us. So
good.
Yeah. Been trading emails and phone calls. Had a conference call last Friday with WPPA and about a dozen other ports. You know, the Marine Tourism Bill has been introduced in the House. Supposedly the Senate bill version is now been introduced. Representative Therringer, although he's one of the prime drafters and sponsors of the bill, Department of Revenue still doesn't like it, and they're starting to change some of the wording to make it less appealing, such as not allowing vessels over 120 feet to be covered by it. And of course, this deals with trying to get more of the big yachts here. Right now, they don't come because the current law taxes the hell out of them if they stay more than their initial stay, so they can't spend the summer in Puget Sound. So more to come on that. I understand the Senate bill is a lot more reasonable, and that usually helps because at the end of the day, it's a compromise between the two. So the other thing, and I know I sent emails to you on this. I would assume the commissioner from District 3 will be attending. If not, one of the other two need to step up to the plate on this one. I'll put something together. They need it by close of business Friday, just a little 60 to 75 word. It should be as friendly and welcoming as you can produce. If they want to know who we are, they sent this to the county, the city, the PUD, or not the city, the city's not invited, the county, the PUD, the fire districts, etc. You know, who we are, what our website address is, that sort of thing. And it's a Saturday afternoon, bring finger food, 3 o'clock. So. The other thing, just real quick, we sent you all an email. Eric did a week or two ago on the retreat. Right now it's setting up that the morning session will be kind of the governance section of the retreat, trying to work towards the most effective government we can be. But the afternoon is kind of the interesting thing I'm looking forward to. And I just want to raise this so you're all thinking about it. each of the commissioners, you know, kind of walk through or talk through their, what they would like to accomplish in the next 3 to 5 years. I'm hoping that there'll be some overlap, that all three of you will want some of the same things, otherwise we could be facing 20 different priorities, but I think that'll be a great discussion. Things like what you and I talked about the other day with the PSAC and stuff like that, I imagine that'd be, you know, one of your items. And so we don't necessarily have to talk about it right now, but be happy to, if you stop by the office, you know, any three of us, be happy to sit down and talk about it.
Yeah, if I could just add, if you desire changes or if there's something you that you want to see that isn't identified on that agenda for the retreat, please let us know as soon as possible. We'll forward your comments back to David, and he can adjust the order of meeting accordingly.
And keep in mind, this we're expected to have a second and third, and that third one might be with the engineer information, or even a fourth retreat with the engineer information. So we don't have to cover 100% of things in this first time out. So I think we're going to learn a lot from this first one. They'll pretty much set the agenda for the next one that might be 2 months later or something like that. So, and again, it's on the 23rd of February. Right down at Fort Ludlow. They're comping the room for us. We'll still have to pay for coffee and that sort of stuff, the lunch. But it's at 9 o'clock.
9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Okay. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Larry. Commissioner comments? Brad?
Well, at the Marine Trade Association meeting last week, Mr. Zimmer there is now the new chair, the new president.
Is that a good thing?
Gets you off the boat for a while.
There's some new energy coming in. There's some, I think there's some good positive energy that some folks are really taking interest in what's going on, and I hope to see it continue. They had also mentioned about, asked about what's going on with the Strategic Advisory Committee, and you know, hopefully that this is something that we're going to be able to get our act together and reestablished soon. So that's basically it.
And just to tag on, we just talked before the meeting, it'd be great if maybe around about June we could sit down with the Marine Trades and start talking, you know, before we get into the budget, you know, so we're not waiting till November dealing with issues or concerns, you know, get ahead of it this time in June, because we usually really get into the budget in July, so.
That's all I had.
Pete?
Airport looks good. They're out there cleaning up the parking lot right now. Really great job they're doing, actually. Good community meetings, and yeah, there's some interesting stuff that's coming down the pipe, but we'll talk later about it. So, nothing to report, really.
Okay. We had our MRC meeting between the last meeting and this one, and this MRC, this Marine Resource Committee, is a group of people that are interested in the resources of the marine environment in our little county. And usually we have no visitors. Sometimes we'll get one. Well, this meeting was Al talking about what the port's doing in regard to biochar and stormwater. And this little room here was packed. And it wasn't really advertised. It was just word of mouth and people interested. And everyone was just amazed at the work the port's doing and how good of a job Al's doing, and that the mill was participating, and that it was a community effort. And it was a wonderful meeting, and the port is looked upon very favorably by the local environmental groups. I just wanted to, it made me proud to be part of it. And that's all my comments. So the next meeting will be Wednesday, February the 25th at 5:30. And so this meeting is over. Which comments?
Public.
Oh, dang, I miss it every time. Okay, public comments. I'm sorry.
I have one comment about restrooms. This seems always overlooked. the use of those, to me, is as much a yard as any, and more than any mortgage tenants. When I haul out, I'm struck with that. I sail four times a week in the summer and never use it. But when I haul out, it's amazing how many people from the yard come over and use the restroom facilities. So I think in the discussion, it's important to consider that group. I know that even in the budget, the cleaning of it is billed out to the mortgage instead of to the yard, when I think that the yard really carries a large part of the burden of that restrooms. And even considerations like having Gojo in there for people's hands, you know, service to that community is as important as anything else. I want to make sure we include that in the consideration for any restroom improvements or maintenance.
You got to draw the names out of the list.
Oh!
Vigo. Thanks for pointing that out,
sir. Yeah, Vigo.
There was an article in the Leader February 4th that really kind of upset me. But let me give you a little bit of quick background. In 2001, there was a book that was written called Good to Great.
Called what?
Good to Great. Why some companies make the leap and others don't. To change. Better. In that article on February 4th, it said, audits are designed to comply with professional standards and satisfy the requirements of federal, state, and local laws. Amy, I take my hat off to you. You did a nice job. You've got a clean review, and that's good. That doesn't address management accountability. That addresses financial accountability. And when that article goes on to say the clean audits demonstrates to the taxpayers of Jefferson County that our commitment to fiscal responsibility is rock solid, I don't think that's an entirely true statement. This body is beginning to change. And Eric, your comments about a long-range plan, I'm really pleased to hear that. 12 months ago, we didn't hear that. There's various diverse groups sitting in this audience. From George on to my right, to Ron Hayes, who isn't here, Bertram and myself, we've all got a different agenda, different viewpoints, different backgrounds. This body has to change significantly. Otherwise, you won't be viable. Let me give you a couple of facts as I see them. The budget for 2015, the increase in expenses over prior year is almost $500,000. The increase in revenues is only $310,000. The negative cash flow amount that Ron Hayes pointed out is $147,000. Now, I'm hopeful that this retreat that you're going on, and I applaud it, I really do. I've been on lots of them. If you be brutally honest with each other as to what has to change, this body will survive. But it can't go on like it's going on. So, selling assets, raising rates, folks, I don't think that's the answer. Maybe part of that, but I think you're just about the end of raising rates on mortgage for the time being. So, I hope this body can change, but a lot of us sitting in the audience question, it's got to happen. And you've got to be brutally honest with each other. Financial picture has to change, otherwise you can't do all this maintenance that we're looking at, let alone build these two big projects of the breakwater and the boat. Thank you.
Okay, any other public comments? All right, well, then this meeting is adjourned. Oh, I'm sorry.
We're
going
to go get the warrants for you guys to sign.
Oh, okay. Well, we don't have
them. You guys get to
go on. Brad, reach in there and pull out a name.
It could be three different.